Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Today, we had a lot going on today. Former special counsel Robert Herr just resigned and is now testifying on Capitol Hill today. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And what the hell's going on at Boeing? Whistleblowers are like coming forward with damning information and then they're mysteriously offing themselves. And I gotta ask, should anybody even be flying right now? I don't know. We'll get into that as well. But first, I saw a story yesterday that just really stuck with me. A young girl in St. Louis, Missouri, is now in critical condition fighting for her life after one of her peers, a 15-year-old female, threw her to the ground during an altercation and began beating her head repeatedly against the pavement. And I almost say regretfully, we do have video of it because, you know, that's what society has been reduced to now. Like world star hip hop, right? Make sure to pull your phones out as you document the degradation of society instead of, I don't know, helping people, offering to help, trying to intervene. No, make sure that you pull your phone out and record it all. Now, I don't think that I have to warn you, but just know that the footage that you are about to see is deeply disturbing. It is blurred a little bit, but still nonetheless very graphic, and viewer discretion is advised. What a disgusting embarrassment. This is our youth, guys. So, those of you who are listening on the audio podcast, what you missed there was one white girl getting the crap beat out of her. You may have heard a loud knocking sound that was the back of her skull against the pavement. And after that happens, she's convulsing in the middle of the street while a bunch of black teenagers are just like beating each other up. And by the way, they're stepping around her body convulsing because they don't want to stop their fight. Now, I don't think I have to tell you, it's very hard to stomach watching once, let alone several times. I don't think I have to tell you why you didn't see this on the mainstream media. I also don't think I have to tell you what the coverage would have been had the roles been reversed and you had, you know, I don't know, a white person beating a black person's head against the pavement. Now, looking a little bit further into the matter, these kids apparently attend school in Hazelwood School District, which, according to Libs of TikTok, Shia, is a school district that recently received a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Award and instituted a restorative justice strategy for disciplining students, which, according to the National Institute of Health, which, by the way, I don't know why the National Institute of Health is even involved in these matters, but according to the NIH, this restorative justice strategy is used to address racially disparate outcomes and is based on equity and social justice principles that encourage educators to address inequities and move towards transforming educational environments into a democratic space that equalizes voices of students, educators, and staff. Now, I don't think I have to tell you how dangerous it would be to try to transform an educational environment into a space that equalizes the voice of the student and the educator. Otherwise, what's the point? If the educator is not the authoritative position, if the educator is not there to inform the student, I don't know what any of us are doing here. And I just have to ask, was that restorative justice that you saw there? A white girl's head getting bashed in the middle of the street while people stand around and do nothing? World star hip hop. Got to get it all on video while a young girl convulses on the pavement. Just think how many views we can get. Think how cool we're going to look to our friends when we show them what we did. Do you think it's a coincidence that these students are being taught in schools the idea that white people are oppressive, that black people should be treated in a superior manner, that they should receive less consequences and less punishment than their white counterparts, and then going out and beating the hell out of white students? I don't know. Maybe. But while these students are learning from the adults in the room that white people are evil and should be held to higher standards, well, that's about all they're learning, because the school's latest report card shows that only 5% of their students are proficient in math and 21% proficient in reading. They're not learning that. The school district, by the way, released a statement after the brutal assault that is just absolute garbage. They said, "Bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership and work towards a resolution for the sake of our children. The Hazelwood School District offers our sincerest condolences to everyone involved and will offer additional emotional support from our support and crisis team to those in need. We look forward to continuing to partner with our community for the sake of our children. Please be kind and respectful of the families involved during this difficult time and pledge to help work toward the betterment of our entire community." No. I do not, in fact, offer condolences to everyone involved in the beating of a 15-year-old girl. In fact, I most especially do not wish condolences to the assailant and the rest of the pack of animals there. I will not be kind and respectful about it during this difficult time. Difficult for who, by the way? The gigantor that almost murdered her classmate? Yeah, no, sorry. I'm all out of empathy for her. DEI is not only toxic, it's not only a poison, it is deadly. We know this, but so is the cultural rot that supports this degenerate behavior. I know. The mainstream media will say, "You're not allowed to talk about the elephant in the room. You can't comment on black culture if you're not black." Well, I can comment on what I'm seeing occur around me. I can comment on what I see with my very eyes. I can comment on the fact that we are seeing within the black community fatherless homes, violence in the streets, utter disregard for human life, the glorification of gang-like violence, the recording of all of that on video. World star hip hop. But nobody's allowed to say it for fear of being called a racist. And then not only does it not get addressed, it gets emboldened because our country has gone off the deep end in embracing DEI in every single thing we do. Case in point, podcast host Sunny Johnson, who, for those of you who are listening on audio podcasts, she just so happens to be a black woman here in America, okay? So here was her commentary on the matter. She had several different tweets. I still call them tweets. I refuse to call them X posts. She said, "Oh, the person who posted it cut the video so you couldn't see the white girl squaring up for the fight. All I see is equality and violence. And there was a loser." Another, "I said, keep your hands to yourself. Crybabies in my mentions want to start fights and not have to deal with the consequences unless they can choose those two. That's not how any of this works. Keep your hands to yourself." I wish you would have said, "keep your hands to yourself" to the woman who practically murdered, to the girl who practically murdered her classmate. And last one, "Her daddy should have taught her how to fight. Blame him." Well, I wish Sunny Johnson, whoever the hell that is, I wish Sunny Johnson's daddy would have taught her better. Really tragic, awful situation in Missouri, and my prayers are with the victim's family and the victim, and I pray that justice is swift and severe for all of those involved. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We are going to be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So financial experts, I don't know. I think the experts, right? The government experts, all of the experts thought that we were going to be in the clear. They thought that, you know, they were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. And then the inflation data came out and it was higher than expected. So it's not good news. All right. The U.S. is $34 trillion in the hole and we're still printing money thinking that that's going to solve the problem. Well, it's not. It's just going to push the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand, or you can do something about it, and you can diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. They are historically gold and silver has been a hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it very easy to own. They're going to help you convert an existing IRA or a 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You're not going to pay a penny out of pocket to do it. I personally, my family uses Birch Gold. We have looked at diversifying into gold now more than ever. And I'm just saying, this is no obligation. Text the word Sarah to 989898. You can get your free information kit on gold. And then if gold is right for you, you can talk to one of their precious metal specialists on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation. Text the word Sarah to 989898. All right, I want to welcome to the show Eric July, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics, who has just had another success here in the can with Ripaverse.
Yeah, we put out Yaira number one, and it is now our fastest, well, all of our campaigns, and I'm going to sound really crappy because I'm like, oh, they're all hit $1 million. Like, I'm not trying to say it like that, but this is Ice on One, massive launch. Yeah. We talked about it here.
Yeah.
Yaira 1 is set, actually not set, it already did. It hit $1 million in 24 hours, and that's actually faster than what the first one did. So, man, guys out there showing a lot of love to this company, man. I appreciate y'all so much out there.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I keep telling you, Eric, I just keep waiting for the day that,
I'm booked, and then I was like, hey, Eric, where you at?
I don't care. I'm raking in the millions. I don't care. I'll know whenever you stop responding to my calls. I'll know that that's what it is. So, all right. So I want to get into a little bit here what happened on Capitol Hill today. So, you know, we had special counsel, former special counsel, I should say, because he just abruptly resigned. Special counsel Robert Hur, who was handling the Biden classified documents saga, and his report back in February that, by the way, was supposed to be a confidential private report just to the attorney general that he was supposed to summarize his investigation. Duh. And so he did that, and the report became public. And of course, we found out that the report contained that Biden willfully retained classified documents but didn't propose criminal charges. And he cited Joe Biden's age and alleged memory issues. He said he's a well-meaning. I think to a jury, he'll come across as a well-meaning elderly man. I think a jury would be sympathetic to him. In the report, he said Biden couldn't recall the year his son Beau died. And apparently, they said that, well, Joe Biden said that the investigators brought up Beau's death, and he was responding to the question. Well, apparently that's not true. It was Joe who brought it up himself, and then his confusion came after he was asked about what he was doing after Trump took office. So some of this transcript here, let me read it to you. It says, and so I hadn't walked away from the idea that I may run for office again, but if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, what month did Beau die? Oh, God, May 30th. And it also revealed that he frequently forgot what a fax machine was. Obviously his memory was not all there. And I want to play some of these exchanges on Capitol Hill today, because some of the implications that we're hearing from GOP House members, I think, is a fair criticism, which is Joe Biden had an $8 million book deal. He went and talked to this ghostwriter. He gave the ghostwriter classified information. And so, like, he had a reason to keep these classified documents. He benefited, basically, financially from these classified documents. So isn't that enough evidence that you need to actually charge him with something? Because it seems to me you have all the evidence that you need here. Here is her admitting that Joe Biden was lying about sharing information with that ghostwriter. Watch.
February 8th, the White House. Question: Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president: I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
Now, Eric, the two-tier justice system goes even further with this, because the ghostwriter was put on notice that there was an investigation into this. And after he was put on notice that they may be needing some information, some audio files from him, he deleted some of the audio files. And Robert Herr's testimony today was, well, he deleted some of them. And it's like, well, right. But like, is that not obstruction of justice? Like, is that not obstruction of the investigation? What, like, he deleted them after you told him that he needed to hang on to his files. And now not only is he not being charged, but Joe Biden is not being charged, even though we know that he lied.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump, throw him in prison and throw away the key.
And I think that's the conversation that we're going to end up always going back to, because it seemed like, at least with Trump, I don't think I'm crazy here, because I can be a little more objective. It's not like I'm the Trump guy here.
Right.
Right.
They would accuse me of being, but I'm not, but that's fine. Go ahead.
That's true.
Eric hates them all equally.
Yeah, that is also true. But with that being said, it does appear from the outside looking in that they don't seem to need to find much. Hell, they'll make it up in order to, at least at minimum, charge President Trump with something.
Right.
Right. So now you get Joe Biden and you have, again, it was inconsistent, which this point is a lie. We have destroying of evidence. We have Joe Biden being very reckless with what they deem as these classified documents or classified information, more accurately putting it. I don't see what else there is to have a discussion about. That has to be account for something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really even care about, well, if a jury would try, if he was to be tried and they would be a little more sympathetic. What does that have to do with anything? What exactly does that have to do necessarily with if what he did was against, granted, I know how the system works, kind of the laws are, you know, whoever enforces it, it means whatever they wanted to mean at the time. I totally understand that. But if it is against their law or laws, what else is there to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
What else are we having a discussion about? Who cares about all that other external stuff? And it's unfortunate because, yeah, as I was saying earlier, we're always going to go back to Trump. We've seen this two-tiered sort of justice system. We've also seen how, again, they find things that aren't a problem to be a sort of problem. Of all people that may have existed in modern history, I've never seen anything like it. If there was something that they could get Trump on, they would have long done it. Yep. Because they have thrown everything at them. So, of course, the supporters of Trump and, again, outsiders as well are going to look at that and say, well, bro, you're talking out both sides of your mouth here, and I get it. Equality is not really a thing, but you don't have to be so blatant in how you enforce rules that are out there, or rather, how you choose to try people. That's always a mistake. People are going to have less faith in your system, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that for as much as the left wants to talk about Donald Trump not being mentally, you know, his mental acuity, they want to question his mental acuity based off of nothing. I'm quite certain that they wouldn't be like, well, let's not charge him because we're concerned that he, you know, he might play off.
I've never heard that being used for anything. Like, there's an old man, if he goes down the street to the
gas
station.
He broke the law.
Around the corner, and he steals everything up out the bad boy, and the cops catch him red-handed. Does he get to just say, hey, bro, I was old?
No.
That's how it works.
No.
I don't understand. That's what I was talking about. I don't get that argument, because it's not one.
Right.
It's not in anywhere else. When we talk of law, and that's applied, nowhere is anybody going to ever say, they're old. Forgive them.
Right.
Does it work like that?
No. Well, I mean, it does if you have the right.
You know, the right people. You know, the right people got the right folks in power. It does. But that's the problem here. And it's almost like they're purposely trying to have the American people lose faith in its justice system. Because things like this and unfortunate things like this, where you have this sort of misapplication of laws or not equal in its enforcement. And of course, it happens to everyday people. But this is so high level, right? We have presidents that we're dealing with. We have, of course, their supporters that are behind it as well. And what better way to have them lose faith in your system than to throw everything you possibly can at one guy and then for the other, oh, he's just a little old man. I mean, they're not even that far from each other in age. Respectfully.
Right. No.
So what's the issue here?
I know.
I guess Trump was doing it all wrong. He should have been playing that card. Hey, man, I'm old, man.
Leave me alone. I'm old. Okay. All right. Let's, you know what? Let's play one more clip here of this hearing before I know we got to go to break. But let's play Robert Herr explaining. OK, well, I mean, we didn't charge him, but we also didn't exonerate him either, I guess. Watch. Or not. That just went back to me.
This lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word Herr, that appears
I'm gonna
in the
continue
report,
with my questions.
That's not part of my task as a
I'm gonna continue with my questions.
I
know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached related
I know that
to whether
the
sufficient
term,
evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
you did
the
not
term
exonerate
willful
the word does not appear in the report.
Trying so
Mr.
hard.
Herr, it's my time.
They're Thank trying you. So hard. There were a couple moments during this this exchange where it was Herr and all the usual suspects, right? Eric Swalwell and a couple of them who were like, yeah, but you agree that what Trump did was way worse, right? He was like, no. They're like, yeah, but you agree that you exonerated Joe Biden. He's like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. And they're like, yeah, well, no, just please stop talking. This is my time. I didn't yield my time. This is my time. Please don't talk over me because your answer was not how we liked it. And by the way, we liked you before, but now that you released that report, we don't like you anymore. Similar to James, who was it? Comey? Wasn't that his name? I believe it was. Yeah. Former FBI, head of FBI, that they loved him. And then he released that report on Hillary Clinton saying our investigation is not done yet. And then they were like, no, you're not our guy anymore. You were factual and you told the truth. Don't do that.
It happens quick, doesn't it?
Really does. Yeah. Life comes at you fast. All right. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor of this segment, Jace Medical. So look, here in this time, 2024, in the United States, there are medications that are being rationed right now. I don't know if you guys, if you don't realize it, consider yourselves lucky because you haven't run into an issue like that. But my older son, I took him to the urgent care a while back during the winter, and they were like, we're going to write you a prescription for this cough medicine, but we're going to give it to you on paper because we don't know any of the pharmacies that have this in stock. So maybe you can go hunting and find one. And I was like, what? In 2024? So point is, this is just one reason why you need to have the Jace case on hand. It's a personalized emergency medication kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics which treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. Imagine you getting strep throat, your kid getting strep throat, and they're all out of amoxicillin. You can't take it. What would you do? Okay, you don't need to find out. Get Jace Medical instead. They even have ivermectin as an add-on option. So do yourself a favor, get you one for your house, and then get gift cards for your family or loved ones so that they can also get and customize a Jace case of their own. You can go to jacemedical.com, enter code Sarah at checkout for a discount on your order. I'm telling you guys, be prepared for the unexpected. It is jacemedical.com, promo code Sarah. All right, Eric, I want to talk about what's going on over at Boeing. A lot, apparently, because every other day I see a headline. It's usually United Airlines, by the way. United Airlines Boeing flight has a problem, loses signal midair, starts nosediving, and then regains its signal. They're dropping tires on the ground. Their landing gear is failing, falling off. And I have some concerns, okay? But amidst all of this, a former Boeing employee known for raising concerns about the firm's production standards has been found dead in the United States. Now, he worked for Boeing. This was John Barnett. He worked for Boeing for 32 years until his retirement in 2017. And in the days before his death, he was actually involved in a lawsuit giving whistleblower testimony against Boeing. And he had said that, first of all, the report is that it was self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Sure, three
in
of
his
them to
truck.
The back of the head or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Yeah. But so he had blown the whistle on the lack of standards I think he said that in 2019, he told BBC that under pressure workers had been deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line. He said that he had uncovered serious problems with oxygen systems, which could mean one in four breathing masks would not work in an emergency. He said soon after starting work in South Carolina, he had become concerned that the push to get new aircraft built meant the assembly process was rushed and safety was compromised. Of course, the company denies that that was the case. I think we're seeing who was correct in that analysis, and I don't believe that it was Boeing, the company.
Man, it's such a weird thing, such a weird time.
I mean, do you feel safe flying right now?
No, I've never been a big fan of flying, but especially now, it's a whole lot of things that they got going there, and to see a whistleblower go down like that, to all accounts, at least from what I've seen when I was looking into the story, wasn't suicidal. So that's always weird when I start to hear, hey, God committed suicide out of nowhere. I get it. People right. go through things and maybe they don't show everything. And if I give them the benefit of the doubt, that's the situation. And there's no shenanigans going on. But shenanigans aside, yeah, I don't like turning it on Twitter and seeing that there's a wheel fell off or this happened. And, you know, I don't like seeing that. And it does always seem to be a Boeing plane. And, you know, you couple that with, and I know I'm going to talk about this and it's going to frustrate some individuals because they think they're not disconnected or they think that they are disconnected. DIE, call
yep.
them that.
Yep.
A lot of the
yep.
programs that have been pushed among really all mega corporations. Mm-hmm. It's not just the airlines or plane companies. I'm not sure what Boeing has, but people are going to start to feel some kind of way because those programs are put in play to specifically prioritize everything other than qualification.
Right.
And that does not mean that people that are of whatever race or gender can't necessarily be qualified. But if you are prioritizing that, someone's getting excluded.
Right.
Bottom line, that's right. just how it works. Otherwise, you just leave it wide open, and whoever's the good best person for the job is the best person for the job. But when you are having building specific programs, saying that we have to meet this quota, mm-hmm. of course, when a plane goes to crap, a lot of people are going to be looking at that and like, oh, it's DIE or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, well, if of all things that should be strictly merit-based, I think flying these massive planes very, very high in the air where a lot of things could go wrong. And if it yes. goes wrong, it ain't no recovering from
no.
it. And I think of all things that should be merit-based, that should be it.
I mean, I cannot tell you how little I care about the person's skin color who is flying my plane. I just need them to guide the giant metal tube that I'm in properly to the ground. That's literally all I need. That's all I care about. The idea that we should be hiring, I mean, I think obviously DEI is like, it's dumb in and of itself. But like, if you want to talk about like, I don't know, HR or like an office manager or something where like your work does not actually mean life or death, you do you, I guess. I think that it's illegal to do that. But like, you guys can deal with that lawsuit, I guess, employment lawsuit. This is a completely different thing. It's like, guys, like, we need the most qualified person for this position, period. We don't need to be concerned with literally anything else except for, you know, pilot logs and hours and experience and track record and mental state, which they have already shared that they are disregarding. Like, they are considering people with mental disorders, with, you know, mental issues. And of course, the categorization of people that gets me banned from YouTube all the time. So I won't say that, but people who are confused about themselves. And it's like, why? Yeah. Why? We don't need people with mental issues flying our planes. We don't need people who
certainly don't need them building it. That's for sure.
We don't need them building it either. So I was just reading. I just looked up. So apparently there was a suicide note that was found by this Boeing whistleblower. A hotel staff member found him after someone contacted the hotel for a wellness check on him. He had his right pointer finger remaining on the trigger with a gunshot wound near his right temple, which I don't know if you still hold on to the gun once you do that.
Look, man, I don't want to get Blaze in trouble with any sort of conspiracy theories, but my mind's already running. I'm going to just go there.
Me too. And his lawyers, of course, say there was no indication, quote, no indication that he would take his own life.
I was looking into that before, especially before the show started. And when I was looking into this, it was like, there's got to be some evidence of that there. And that's when my mind's going to always get jogging. When a guy has no, like, he had some problems. He was going through this, going through that. Mm-hmm. But when there is no signs that someone takes their, that they would take their life, or there's the potential that they would take their life, and they just up and do it. I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe it does happen every now and then. Or maybe they were good at concealing some of that information or something that they were experiencing or what they were going through. But man, happened to be going through this situation, whistleblower, and then he's just up and out of there. I'm like, I don't know, man.
I mean, Boeing is, I'll just say they are a very powerful
corporation. Let's say this. If there was to be a company that could make things go away, it would for sure be them.
Just saying. Let me read this full quote here from his lawyers. John was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which finally was nearing the end. He was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it. Does seem weird that he's already given the testimony and he's already put himself out there. He's already gone on record saying these things. Why now would he be like, I just can't take it anymore? So it will be interesting to see if they release the quote suicide note that was found next to him.
We'll see. We will see.
We'll see. Okay, so I don't know how much time we have left here, but let me go ahead. I want to get your thoughts, Eric. Mm-hmm. On the extremist gamers. Have you heard this? A recent government report has uncovered collaboration between gaming companies and federal agencies aimed at addressing domestic violent extremist content. So this report suggests strengthening these partnerships and highlights the existing mechanisms with social media companies, proposing similar approaches within the gaming industry, and it outlines the sharing of information on extremist activities and potential law violations. This, of course, comes at a time where Congress is pressuring gaming companies to act against extremist content, reflecting heightened federal interest in combating extremism post January 6th. Are you, Eric, I don't play video games. Are you an extremist gamer?
No. Well,
that sounds like something an extremist gamer would say.
I'll walk that back, because by their standards, probably. Let them tell it. Lord knows I'm probably on somebody's list. But with the federal government being involved in gaming in general, that's just weird. Again, as an Italian man that was really privy to being on top of things, doing things like this, and using merging corporate and federal interests. Fortunately, they labeled Donald Trump that. But this is a prime example of this, whoever you want to pin it on.
It's almost like they were projecting.
Almost
like they're the party of projection.
It almost is that way, is it not? But them going after gamers is not surprising, mainly because gaming is the industry. In recent years, we have seen this pass everything as far as entertainment is concerned. Hollywood, all that good stuff, is more money in gaming. So for them to try to get involved to maybe incriminate some people, I don't for once believe that they is this just a bunch of extremists and all the extremists are just gaming all the time or something like that. I don't believe that at all. I just think that this is a avenue for them to, more specifically the federal government, to get involved in snooping around people's in their business.
So to that point, we've talked a little bit about the proposal to ban TikTok from the United States. You know, obviously, previously they had said, let's ban it from federal devices, because clearly this is a national security issue. And they're discussing banning it just in the country, unless an American company can, like, buy them out. That is an option. And I know Rumble, I think, has proposed, hey, we'll buy TikTok so that we can have it in the United States, which I think is a terrible idea, because I think TikTok should just go away and die. I think it's just horrible for our society. But it was interesting because Thomas Massey actually pointed out that the TikTok ban, he says, is a Trojan horse. So he says the president will be given the power in this proposal to ban websites, not just apps. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. So giving the president, and this has always been why I've been weary to sign on to a government doing anything about social media as a whole. TikTok, I was like, it's clearly CCP linked. They are clearly allowing content on here meant right. to confuse and destroy our, you know, Gen Z society or whoever's sure. in there. Right. Like they are indoctrinating these. They don't have the content that we have in America. They don't have that content on the Chinese version of TikTok. So clearly it's intentional, which is why I'm like, we would be much better off without it. But the idea that the president would be given the power to ban websites now.
That's always the danger. That's always the danger with entrusting not just the president, I would say the government in general, to do something so egregious, mm-hmm. if you will. Yeah, you may be for it. You may not like X thing, but you don't just, you got to look beyond what's directly in front of you. We've seen this with acts and laws over the course of human history. That one law, it was just to get rid of this. And next thing you know, here we are, National Firearms Act or whatever it may be. You give them just a little tiny bit of power, give them a little bit of leeway, and then they use that. They use that. Hell, that was how he just, I got to grill Trump today. That was how that bump stop ban, which was way more dangerous than what people were wording it as, mm-hmm. they were referencing these sort of old laws. Well, this gave us the power to do this. So this is why we can do this, right? This is why it's so dangerous. Don't fall for that trap of, well, I don't like this thing, and I might think that that's a net positive today. But don't think about just today. Think about what happens when the guy that you don't like gets power,
right?
And they can then do it. Right. What becomes extremist then?
Right.
Is it a website that is it Rumble?
Right.
Is it? Let's say if they now got the power, or rather, what have you? Rumble starts to rise. Right. They don't like the people that are housed on that.
Certainly,
website?
I can think of, what's the website? Oh, that's right, theblaze.com.
Oh, yeah. Why go there? Yeah, why even go to the, let me just talk about, here, what if they don't like what we're putting out? What
right.
if they don't like what Blaze is putting out?
I can guarantee you.
They can say we're extremists.
Exactly. I can guarantee you that literally everything I say is considered extremist content in the eyes of the Biden regime. Oh, you as well.
Oh, I'll probably be the main one.
We're on all the lists
yes.
already. So sure. I'm sure they are just chomping at the bit to try to ban the Blaze and, you know, Blaze TV from existing on the internet. That's why you have to be careful with these bills. What was it, like a 600-page bill or something? Mm-hmm. They weren't expecting everyone to read it.
Leave it to the libertarian to be the one that says, wait a minute.
Exactly.
That's in there.
Yeah, exactly. So proceed with caution. All right, we got to take another quick break, but we want to thank our sponsor, this segment, Relief Factor. So if you are living in pain and you just think, this is my life now, I have less patience with my family because it's nagging at me all the time, but I can't do anything about it. That's not the case. You got to try Relief Factor. So what Relief Factor does is target the inflammation in your body, which oftentimes that's the root cause of your pain. So, you know, you could put on a topical cream and you're like, ooh, it's cold and then it's hot and then it's gone and then I'm in pain again. Or you can try Relief Factor. They have a 3-week quick start pack. 70% of the people who order that quick start pack go on to keep ordering more. That's how many people it's working for. The odds are in your favor that it can get you out of pain. And if you can, it can be life-changing. Go try it over at relieffactor.com. They've got a money-back guarantee if it doesn't work for you, but it probably is. And look, you got nothing to lose except your pain, okay? Go get that 3-week quick start over at relieffactor.com. So, Eric, I want to touch on the latest Tucker Carlson episode that just dropped. He interviewed Chris Cuomo, who, of course, I would say disgraced former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, now with News Nation, apparently. And it's really hard for me to be on board with this one, Eric, because this man I would consider to be evil. Like, he went on air all the time spewing lies purposely meant to deceive his viewers and his audience and financially profited off of that. And I have a hard time like having anyone legitimize him after doing so. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to get your thoughts on the matter. Let me play a clip from this interview of Chris Cuomo telling Tucker why he reached out after Tucker himself was fired from Fox News. Watch.
So one of the reasons I think that you called me was because we'd had such similar lives and you're one of the few people who kind of understand. And both of us spent decades in one world, were exiled from it. And I think the question is, like, what if we learn from this? You first.
I'm still trying to figure it out. And I knew it was important to reach out when you were going through your exit, let's call it. And because I knew the pain of it and I knew the challenge of it. And everything is different, but I do believe that one of the lessons I've learned is you have to think about how other people are being affected by situations, especially once you have pain in your own life. And it doesn't matter what you agree with, what you like, what you don't like. It's all gotten so far removed from humanity that the idea that
because
I don't
of
like
you.
That Tucker Carlson takes a bite out of my ass on his show on a regular basis.
I think
basis.
You had a good reason not to like me. I think that would be fair.
But that means that this is not somebody who you should care about as a human being. And I feel like our culture isn't working anymore. That everybody
because of you
with their own. And as a result, everybody is against one another for the same kinds of reasons.
Because of you.
And it's not working. And if it's not working, then why aren't we trying something different? Why wouldn't I reach out to somebody who has a family and who has a following and is dealing with a hard time to see if I can help?
Isn't it cute that he's like, I don't know, I've been looking around me and like, it seems really divisive right now. We're living in a really divisive time. Like, yeah, no shit. You went on air every night and spewed all of this rhetoric that was contributing to the divisiveness of this country. He went on air and people were looting and burning down cities. And he was like, well, it's just the voice of the unheard or whatever the hell. It's just like, it's really cute that you hold this particular position now.
And that's the convenience of it all. And look, I'm all for people being reformed.
I just don't believe that he is.
That was where I was going to go with it. I'm all for people coming to a better understanding, having a change of heart. I believe that even guys as old as him sure can have some room to grow, maybe even learn the error of their ways. But he doesn't really mention that at all during the interview as far as his errors. He just mentions what is. Mm-hmm. So to me, that doesn't mean like, hey, he thinks that he contributed to it. That doesn't mean anything that he think what he had said or was saying and stuff that he was perpetuating on his show or shows was a problem.
Yeah, expresses no regret.
No, there's nothing that. This is just more circumstantial.
Right.
It's, hey, I got ousted. You now are in this situation, and I just wanted to reach out. Could he have been sincere in his reach out? Yeah, but see, this is my problem. It's definitely the year of 2020. Let me say this. I'm still pissed that people's heads ain't rolling. Mm. That was a crappy year. Mm-hmm. Between the COVID stuff and between the sum of love.
Right.
And it was all perpetuated by the CNNs of the world.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All of that.
Yep.
The era where people lost jobs, never to return.
Right.
I'm in the music industry. I watched a lot of these venues go under and never came back. Ain't no coming back.
Restaurants as well.
All that good stuff. People that have spent their entire life savings to make this happen, gone like that.
Yep.
And that was perpetuated by Cuomo's and the CNNs of the world. Absolutely lying to these people, or worse, allowing government officials to go on their platforms and lie to the people, specifically about the COVID thing. Because I was calling that stuff out for way too long. And if I could figure it out, I'm not no epidemiologist, right? I'm just looking at the data that's available to me. But if I could figure it out, you should have the resources to figure that out. And there's no remorse. I don't see that. I think a lot of people may got an egg on their face. But what was that? I can't remember who wrote that article. That was like, what was it? Amnesty.
Mm-hmm.
That these people think that
they're old. Yeah. We deserve COVID amnesty.
Right. Like nothing.
No.
Like none of this happened. I'm like, no.
No.
That was a terrible time. You did terrible things. And a lot of you guys should be in prison.
Yes.
forget just being able to talk willy-nilly about it, about the issues. A lot of y'all should be in prison. I'm not joking.
Yeah. Specifically, criminal. Specifically, all of those experts that were paraded
Fauci
around
the world.
CNN.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah.
And the people that were complicit with it, right?
Yeah.
And it's more so that you would demonize. That's my biggest issue during those times, right, is how you were demonizing the people that were coming out and just trying to tell the truth.
Right. Right.
That was all they were trying to do, and you treated them like they were the criminal ones.
What's so funny to me, Eric, is what, you know, you're talking about, and you're so right about, like, I'm just a guy, right? Like, I don't have a medical degree. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm just looking at the data, and I'm telling you what I see. And their argument would be, well, because you're just a guy, you're not qualified to look at the data and tell us what you see. And it's like, that's just not true, right? So now our entire lives hang in the balance of what the government experts, right? The government experts tell us, especially when you have people like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, by the way, just to remind everyone, got paid more than any other federal employee, including the freaking president, okay? So he's the highest paid federal employee. He hasn't seen a patient in like 50 years. He completely botched the response to HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. And we're like, hey,
run,
you know what?
Run it back.
Right, right. And they're like, hey, you know what? Let's not make a single decision in this entire country until we get Anthony Fauci's freaking opinion on it. It's just, I don't know, maybe a horrible way of doing things. Or you could have listened to us sitting right over there at the other table telling you guys, hello, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the data that we're seeing here. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that the guy who was decapitated in a motorcycle accident didn't die from COVID.
Right. That couldn't have happened, right?
I don't need to be a medical doctor to know that those two things don't make sense. You don't have to be that.
People tested fruits for it and all sorts of things. And
now they're like washing their like groceries.
Yeah,
and it's like,
what? What? None of this makes sense. But you said that, and you're an extremist, and, right, and you're evil. And again, going back to the original point, the Cuomos of the world were saying that.
Yeah.
They had no problem saying it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't believe you, Chris Cuomo. And if you want any amnesty, you're not getting it from us. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Got something to say? Leave Sarah a message at 888-969-5113.
All right, Eric, before we go, Joe Biden was interviewed by MSNBC, and he was asked, like, what would he say to Black Americans? And so he has a message for you, okay? Yeah. I want you to hear it. Watch.
You promised Black America that you'd have our back. Do you feel you have our backs?
I have your back, and as much as any president has in American history since Lyndon Johnson.
And he had our back. The guy that said he'd have ends. Wait a minute. That's a terrible. That was so bad.
Like one of the most racist presidents against Black people, LBJ. And he was like, hey.
Understanding what was facilitated, what the welfare that they implemented and how that historically just destroyed Black families. That's the worst guy that you could be comparing yourself to. But you know what, Biden, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the best since him, and he sucked. So
yeah,
both of you suck.
Yeah, you guys about have the same mentality when it comes to Black America and the way that you guys have decimated.
Unbelievable.
What's also interesting to me is that he just skipped over Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually was half Black. He's like, eh.
And he also worked with.
Yes.
No, he's very familiar with Obama, doesn't he?
Well, to be fair, he...
He
does have
too.
A bad memory. So, by the way, thank you, Eric, for being here. I am out the rest of the week. We got to do, you know, kids have spring break. I got to do some, I'm a mom. Okay. So I got to go do that. And we'll see you Monday.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.